Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai. Best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department to back it all up. Routine, inspections, diagnostics, difficult stuff. They do it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Rob Cooper, Dave Zancaro this hour. First, our play-by-play call of the day.
First pitch, swinging a drive, high in the air, deep to left center field. Could it be? Could it be? It is out of here! Josh Spiegel! A three-run home run, and Penn State takes an 8-6 lead here in the top of the ninth inning. The Pittsburgh kid with a three-run shot over the nook in left center field, a towering bomb, and Penn State has rallied to take the lead.
That's Brian Tripp with the call on the Penn State Sports Network from PNC Park last night. Penn State scored 14 runs in the top of the ninth inning to take a 6-5 deficit and turn it into a 19-6 win. That's remarkable. They've got Illinois three-game set coming up starting tomorrow, going up Friday, Saturday. And joining us now is the head baseball coach of the Nittany Lions, Rob Cooper. Coop, great to have you with us.
I appreciate it. Good to be back on, man. Hope you're doing well.
I hope you're doing well. It's great to see you over football practice the other day. When I've gone to games, this is what I've noticed, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. Your team plays with joy. They love playing. That's my observation. Is that fair?
No, you're dead on. They play for each other. They really truly do. They honor each other because they love each other. They honor each other by their effort, how they go out. They are willing to pick each other up, and they value the opportunities that they get to play and practice together, you know, because every season ends at some point for every team. And, you know, these guys truly value being around each other, and they, you know, I made the statement last night that they play for each other, and it's you're dead on.
All right, so let's get to Matt Wood for a moment. Matt Wood,
just for a moment.
Yeah. But Matt Wood, I want to say, has like a 3.7 GPA or somewhere in that neighborhood, and the only thing higher than his GPA is his batting average. When you look at him as an all-around individual, and we'll get to the baseball skills in a moment, what do you see in Matt Wood, the all-around individual?
Well, Steve, he is one of those kids that you only come across, you know, once in a great while. I mean, everything you just said is right. He is a great student. He is a great player. He's an unbelievable human being, and he's a leader. He cares about every single guy in the locker room. You don't have to be an everyday player. He treats the managers and the grounds crew like he treats, you know, everyone else. And when you have somebody like that that sets the tone every day on how you approach the game, how you compete, how you treat people, upholding the standard, then your team's going to be better. And the thing that he does, you know, it's funny, he's not a real vocal guy. Like, it's, you know, but when he speaks, it commands attention because it's, you know, guys know that, especially being a catcher, this kid's out there every single day going through it. And, you know, he doesn't ever complain about being banged up, bruised, or whatever. But, you know, I tell this story to people all the time about Matt. You know, Matt committed to us after his sophomore year in high school. And about a week later, my oldest son made the decision to come here. And, you know, they're both catchers. And the very first person to call Tyson, not text, call, was Matt Wood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that tells you just, he never flinched. It was, you know, he didn't care about who you'd have to compete against. It was, sweet, this guy's going to be on the team. Let's be teammates and help us win.
As he's also a left-handed hitter, give everybody an idea of the value of what a left-handed hitting catcher can mean at every level.
Yeah, man. I mean, first of all, you know, it's a guy that is extremely accomplished behind the plate. I mean, he can really receive. He can really block. He's got his arm strength up.
You know what I've noticed, too? That you tell me if I'm wrong about this. I feel like his transfer has bought him like he's cut down an extra step on a guy going to second because of his transfer.
100%. His footwork and the glove to hand is really, really, really good. And, you know, early in his career here, you know, scouts would be like, oh, do you think he'll be able to throw and pro ball? And I'm like, well, the footwork and transfer are already there. Arm strength can come, you know, and he's adding that. But, yeah, that left-handed bat, and it's just such a repeatable swing. And he hits lefties. He hits velocity. He hits soft guys. He hits from basically pole to pole and opens up the entire field. And, he had 26-game hitting streak as a catcher. I mean, it's hard enough to get a 10-game hitting streak as a DH, but he did a 26-game hitting streak as an everyday catcher. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And, by the way, if I recall correctly, his high school was Pine Richland, wasn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. All right, so now let's get to last night because that's caught the attention of a lot of people. And by the way, Coop had already said he was coming on the show before they scored 14 runs in the ninth inning, just so everybody knows. What did you see something like that happen? You know, what was it like for you watching this play out in the top of the ninth inning?
Well, you know, it's funny. For the first 7.5 innings, I thought we played our most complete, solid, great. It was a great ball game. Both sides, energy. You know, I mean, it was a great atmosphere playing at PNC. And, you know, then we have that hiccup there in the bottom of the eighth. And, you know, as we go to the top of the ninth, I'm thinking, all right, well, I'm going to go on Steve's show tomorrow and talk about how we coughed up a 5-1 lead. But, no, you know what? Honestly, the one thing about this team is we've been behind before. Yeah. And they've really – you watch teams evolve throughout the year and get better or get worse. And one of the things that we've gotten better at, and it goes back to just playing for each other. There was so many coaches say this, but it was really true. There was no flinch in our guys after that inning. It was like, all right, they had their shot. Now it's our turn. And they unloaded. And it was just, I don't know if I've ever really seen anything like that output in that inning, but it was just the common connection and belief and togetherness of that entire team that was, you know, it was just so, so cool to be a part of. And then, you know, you look at a guy like Josh Spiegel, who is basically a Pittsburgh native, grew up going to Pirates games, big, you know, like, and to hit a game-winning home run, way out. I mean, what a memory he'll have for the rest of his life. You know, that's just so cool.
And Josh, by the way, you DH Matt last night, and Josh caught. What about the job that on the mound that you got from Tommy Molsky, Jordan Morales, Stephen Miller, and then Carson Coles finished up for you last night?
Yeah, you know what, Steve? We kind of made a decision in the fall that, you know, we felt like, you know, because of COVID and a bunch of other things, like we felt like we had a lot of really good arms, but we just didn't feel like any of them had the true experience or had gone through the wars a little bit. And so, you know, we kind of just felt like, all right, we're going to do a little bit of what's going on in pro ball right now. We're going to pitch guys almost in a bullpenning type thing, and we're going to let their stuff play up even more. And, you know, right now I think we have 10 or 11 guys that have started a game and closed out a game. You know, and they've done a great job of it. And, you know, if we can lock this thing up and get to the tournament, I think that's going to be extremely valuable to us. But the thing that I keep telling people is, you know, about 5 years ago, I brought that up with our pitching staff at the time, doing something similar. And, I mean, the pushback was so strong. I mean, the guys were like, oh, no, we can't do that. It's not – I got to know if I'm pitching on Friday. I got to know this. And, and you know, so we didn't do it, you know, because they didn't buy in. But this group has bought in, and that takes a lot. And it starts with guys like Tyler Shingledecker and Steve Miller and, you know, Travis Lungsman and all those guys that are like, okay, you know what? Yeah, I want to be the Friday night guy. But if me coming in the third inning on Saturday is going to be our best option to win, then I'm all in. And so it's been working for us, but it has no chance if they don't buy in. And so I give the players all the credit.
Right. And this is going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday with Illinois.
Correct.
Now, in some ways it feels like it's – this is fun because it feels like it's a playoff atmosphere with the Big Ten tournament coming up. But because of the pitching approach, right, you don't really have to play it differently, do you?
No, we're going to play it the exact same way we've been playing.
Right. See, so I mean, because you and I both know, you get to the playoffs, how often do you see everything like changes? You know, I'm talking about the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Yep.
Everybody changes up. Suddenly a guy comes in, he's a little earlier, the whole deal. You don't have to do that with what you've done with this team.
No, and again, that's something we've talked about with them, and because they bought in, they treated it like that. So, you know, Jaden Henlein will start the game tomorrow, and then everybody's available to try to help us win the game. And then when tomorrow's game's over, we'll set it up for Saturday and go from there.
Okay. You set it up for Friday.
I'm sorry, Friday. Yeah. I'm still thinking Friday, Sunday.
No. No, this happens all the time. So I always love when I'm listening to afternoon games in basketball, and everybody says tonight. You're like, no, it's this afternoon.
Yeah, right.
But Henlein's been good for you. I mean, he started six games for you. He's got a nice, solid ERA for you. And what, he's like 4-1 strikeouts to walks. Pretty good.
Yeah, man, he's been really good. And you know, the thing I have to continue to remind myself and remind other people is, you know, and there's a lot of this going on in college baseball right now just because, you know, COVID in 20 and then last year, especially for Big Ten teams, we didn't get to play non-cons. And so a guy like Jaden Henlein, you know, opportunities that he would have had pitching midweeks or non-conference games and things like that, they weren't there. And so a lot of some of the struggles that he's had this year, you know, stuff that he would have figured out in a normal year. You know, like this part of the reason why I'm so proud of our team, because, you know, we go to UVA at spring break, and I mean, we got destroyed. They're a good team, and we got destroyed. And I remember telling our guys on Sunday, I said, all right, listen, I'm not an excuse maker, but listen to me. I said, you know, we got 39 guys on this team, and only five of you have actually had a regular 12-month experience at Penn State, you know, where you take classes in person and fall practice and all that kind of stuff. And at that time, too, I said, you know, we have one guy on our roster, one, that has actually played in 56 games, which is a normal college season, and that was Matt Wood at the time. He played in his 56th game.
Right.
So as the season's gone on and more guys have gotten in there and learned and made mistakes and learned from it, you've seen us play better. And so Jaden's a perfect example of that. And he's done an unbelievable job. I mean, he comes from a winning program, Redland High School, and you know, pitching the Little League World Series. And
yes.
So,
yep.
It's been fun.
You're also 13-7 at home. And I think that's made a difference for you. It's just because – what has been the comfort level of playing in Medler that maybe other teams didn't have? Now, talent makes a difference as well, but they've been a much, much better home team this year. Why?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think any time you get to play at home, it should benefit you. I mean,
no doubt.
You know, you get to stay with your routine, but, you know, one of the things is, you know, just about every program in our conference now has – turf, you know, because the weather in the Big Ten, you know, you need it.
Right.
And so when you come here, you know, and turf is a great thing. Turf is something that,
that's,
you know,
fine.
can make the team better. But from an infielder standpoint, you know, if you haven't been playing on natural grass, you know, it can be a tough tough adjustment. And then the other thing too is, you know, understanding that it, here at Medlar, the ball doesn't go anywhere. So if you're willing, I mean, it does, you know, you've seen enough games
here, of course.
The weather really breaks, you know.
Okay. Well, that's the difference, though. It's going to be Friday and Saturday is going to be like it's August.
Right, right. And so, you know, knowing that, you know, if you're a pitcher, if I'm going to go and just get ahead of guys and get on the attack, then good things can happen. And so I think it's just a lot of that. And then it just goes back again to the commitment to each other. I mean,
yeah.
The one thing, Steve, is that these guys just have a tremendous amount of pride in playing baseball at Penn State, and they love this university. And they so when they're here, they care, you know. And they care wherever, but they want to defend the home turf.
Well, this has been as fun a season as I've seen around here in a while. Look, it's not like other seasons haven't been fun, but there's something about this team that's just a little bit different. And you've worked hard to get this roster to where it is right now. You and your staff have worked very hard to get it to this point.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and it has been a lot of fun. But I will say this again. You know, look, I've made a lot of mistakes while I've been here, and you know, I wish we were farther along for sure. But here's the truth: is that there isn't a ton of stuff that we're doing a lot differently as a coaching staff or whatever. But when you have guys that fully buy in and they don't care about the, you know, what they get out of it, they want to win, then really, really good things can happen. And that's what's going on. So, again, I give our guys all the credit in the world because they're the ones making it happen.
Well, good luck with this weekend starting tomorrow. It is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 5 o'clock tomorrow, 6 o'clock on Friday for people. I think it's, 1 o'clock Saturday, I think.
And that time's going to move up. We just haven't announced it yet. It's because we just found out that Illinois has a travel curfew, so that'll be coming out here soon as far as what time that game will start on Saturday.
No, that's fine. Yeah. And but first things first, take care of Thursday. Hey, cool.
Yep. Thanks, man.
I think it's always one at a time. Like, it's a cliche. It's a reality.
Yeah. I got people asking me, well, what happens? Because I don't know. I just know first pitch is at 5 on Thursday. Okay. Like,
win Thursday. Okay.
Right.
And guess what you do when you're done Thursday? You worry about Friday.
it goes back to the Bill Belichick press conference answer where it's like, well, what do you think about Seagulls? Hey, guys, all I'm worried about is trying to have a really good practice today. And that's the truth,
right,
man.
Anyways, he's a pain in the neck. He's not wrong.
No.
Coop, great having you on the show. Thoroughly,
I appreciate it.
As you know, always enjoy any time I get to spend with you. And I've really enjoyed watching your team play the season, the chances I've had to sneak in there. So.
Well, I appreciate it. And when the season's over, I'll come back on and we'll try to figure out how to fix the Red Sox bullpen this year.
I know one thing I would do. Okay? Literally. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Right? I'd make Chris Sale the closer. I wouldn't start him.
I wouldn't hate it.
No, because, in other words, I think he is effective for, you know, he's effective one inning, maybe two, and I think you take advantage of that. Why not?
Yep.
That's just me.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
All right.
All right, guys. You have a good one.
Rob Cooper, Penn State baseball coach. And that's something that I got to teach you this. Got to be patient.
No, patience is one thing I do struggle with. You are correct. I freely admit that.
I'm not talking about patience with Lisa or patience with the kids. You're great with them. I'm talking about patience with your teams.
I'm talking about all of it.
But my late father, and it's been 18 years since he passed away, but he told me a long, long time ago, and he said, look, he says, don't worry about things you can't control. So let's take, for example, like they're asking Coop, not, you know, the bottom line is if Penn State wins one game, they're automatically in the Big Ten tournament, right? That's what they're asking about, what the scenarios are. Okay. So that's what they're asking about. And he's trying to coach it, so he's trying to figure out, okay, you know, how many innings can I get about this guy? Who's going to be my next guy up? He's thinking about that. He's involved in what's going on. He can't think about, I've got to win a game. He's trying to win that game. Just like, and I'll give you another example. ABC, ESPN put out their first six nationally televised games. Penn State, Ohio State's not one of them. That doesn't mean they're not going to get it, but now people are assuming the game is going to be on Fox. And if the game's on Fox, people are assuming that it's going to be at noon. And if people are assuming that it's also going to be the whiteout game, it's going to be a whiteout game at noon. Well, you don't know any of that. You don't know if the game's on Fox. You don't know if the game's on noon. You don't know if the game's on whiteout. Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about stuff you can't control. When it comes up, we'll all find out together. Then we can react to it. And you hate when I talk like this.
Most times, yes, but you're right.
I'm right the other times. Right?
Yes.
And it still bothers you. The Yankees, by the way, criticizing Camden Yards. 100 times the ballpark Yankee Stadium is, and they're criticizing it. Why? Because they're not getting their stats.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Judge's comments from the, what was it, the left center field wall they moved back?
Yeah, Aaron Judge is not incorrect. He is absolutely right. I'm glad the Yankees are criticizing it. Seriously, I'm glad the Yankees are criticizing. The Yankees are saying all the right things when it comes to this. What the Orioles have done at Camden Yards, you can't be the cartoon franchise. You can't. All right, Dave Zangaro next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. All with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which is so important. And not only that, great service department, whether it's inspections, routine, or difficult, they'll take care of it all. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Let's bring in Dave Zancaro now. Dave, always a pleasure. Great to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Bradberry is now a part of the mix. The Giants needed money to sign their draft choices, and the Eagles get him. What are they getting in him?
Well, they're getting a pretty good player who last year wasn't as good as his best. So I think it's easy to say they're getting a Pro Bowler because he was that 2 years ago, but he wasn't a Pro Bowler last year. He didn't play to that level. But he's still a pretty good corner, and he's still a lot better than what they had. So he'll fit into that second cornerback spot opposite Darius Slay. And all of a sudden, I mean, that's a pretty good unit they have there with Slay on one side, Bradbury on the other, and then Avante Maddox, who played really well last year as the nickel.
Yeah, I've always liked Maddox, as a matter of fact. I liked him when he was a Pitt, as a matter of fact. Bradbury, of course, had the Achilles problem last year. What kind of, you always try to do your due diligence. What do the Eagles, how do they feel about the injury he had last year, which is not always the easiest one to overcome?
Yeah, I mean, they pretty clearly think he's going to be all right because they just gave him a contract worth up to $10 million. I think he'll be all right. He's still a relatively young guy. He's only 28. And he is only, you know, I did bring up that he didn't play quite to that level last year, but he's only a couple of years removed from his Pro Bowl season, his first year with the Giants. So, and honestly, he was a player a few years ago that I really thought the Eagles should have taken a look at and ended up waiting a couple of years and getting him anyway. I think he'll fit very well in what Jonathan Gannon wants to do defensively. And he'll come here as a number two corner, and I think that takes some of the pressure off him, and it'll help him because he's not. We're still going to see Darius Slay on top receivers more often than not, so it can only help a guy like Bradbury. And he knows there's a chance that if teams don't want to throw at Slay, they're going to have to throw at him. If he puts up big numbers, he can get another big contract when the year's up.
What does the addition of Reddick means to them in combination with some of the other moves they've made?
Yeah, I mean, well, they're listing him as a linebacker. He's going to play the Sam position
right.
this defense. I mean, his job is going to be to get after the quarterback. I guess what you're getting at here is they've added some pieces that would be typical of a 3-4 defense. And it goes with Hassan Reddick and Jordan Davis and a few other additions. And I think they will be a pretty multiple defense this year. I think they are going to show four-man fronts. I think they're going to show three-man fronts as well. And I really think it's going to be kind of game plan centric, right? They're going to go into each week and think, how's our best bet at attacking what this offense does best? And that's really what Jonathan Gannon wants to be able to do. He looks at he's very similar to like a Brandon Staley in that he wants to be able to have enough different pieces to play different styles of defense week to week. And that's very ambitious. And he didn't quite do it in year one. And I think a lot of that was because he didn't have the right pieces to try to be that multiple. But this year he does. I mean, this year they have just the amount of players they've added on defense in the last 2 months is pretty astounding. You have Hassan Reddick, Kazir White, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, and now James Bradbury. So they've added five, even if they're not starters, five players in the last 2 months that are going to play an awful lot on that defense.
The intriguing draft pick to me was N'Kobe Dean. Third round, good spot for him. Productive player in college. What did you think of that pick?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I thought was they better be right about his medicals because every other team passed on him. And I think what we've learned and what I'm gleaning from it is it was his medicals in combination with his lack of size and teams wondering about how durable he'll be in the NFL. But just the player alone is electric. I mean, it's funny. You watched that Georgia defense last year, and everyone obviously watched a lot of Georgia. They were an incredible team, national champions. But if you watch that team, two of the guys that really stood out to you are in the Eagles now. I mean, Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean really solidified that defense up the gut, and now they get to play together in Philly. And even if Dean medically isn't 100% cleared, getting him at the 83rd overall pick just represents so much value there that I'm willing to take that shot, you know? I understand not doing it in the second round if there's some concern, but there were people in Philly who wanted them to take him at 51 overall, thinking that there's no chance he makes it to the third round, and then he was sitting there for them at 83. So I really like the move. I think there's obviously some risk based on how many teams passed on him, but the upside is huge. I mean, the upside is you're getting a key cog from maybe the best college football defense we've ever seen, and I'll take those chances.
All right, but there's the other part. You talk about Jordan Davis. Here's the part I don't like. He needs to lose weight. He has no stamina. He's not going to play 28 plays. I mean, at some point in his career, he's not going to be playing 28 plays a game. In the SEC championship game, where he had to play more, he had nothing in the second half. That would worry me.
Yeah, I get that worry. He's listed at like 343. I think he's 345 when he got here. He's going to get into the 330s. That's where he needs to be. So the sports science department here has to get their hands on him. And I think that'll help him out quite a bit. A lot of it, obviously, has to be on him to get his conditioning up and to take it seriously. But honestly, early in his career, at least as a rookie, he's going to get eased into it because they still have Javon Hargrave, and they have Milton Williams. So he's probably going to be around that 25 to 30 snap a game range that he was in last year anyway. And then it's just about building his conditioning up for a long season and then for subsequent seasons when they will eventually ask him to do more.
Well, they're going to have to because George has a sports science department too, which they do.
Let's be honest. It's a different animal when you're a pro and you're in a league and that's your job as opposed to, you have to go to class on Monday. So I think there's a natural maturation process that occurs too. I agree with that, Dave.
I agree with that. But remember, I broadcast Penn State games. I'm around Penn State sports department. So don't tell me there's a difference between the pro sports performance and the college. I know how it goes. I mean, Georgia's got one too.
Absolutely, it's a difference.
In what way? Just beyond age, there is, but not in terms of data that they have.
Okay, well, maybe the raw data is different, but now you're in a situation where it's this kid's job to do this, and it's a full-time job for him. So I wouldn't worry.
I think you're assuming a lot, Dave. I'll be frank with you. You're assuming a lot. You are who you are. I mean, he better lose the weight. I mean, because that was one gap.
You are who you are. So a 21-year-old kid is who he is?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, let me ask you something. How different is Jalen Hurts as a quarterback compared to when he was at Oklahoma and Alabama? I see a lot of the same things. I think he's a little bit better in a lot of ways, but he plays the same kind of way, which is perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. But he pretty much is what he has been. I mean, and that's with a lot of guys. They get a little bit better.
Are you drawing a comparison to Jordan Davis here, or is this different?
I'm drawing a comparison that Jordan Davis is going to be facing like a Quentin Nelson and not some kid from Vanderbilt.
Okay. I don't understand how the Jalen Hurts thing plays into it.
Because how it plays into it? Okay, I'll explain it to you. This will be fun.
Okay, please.
Jalen Hurts plays in terms of how he plays. Pretty much how he played in college, in terms of how he is, because I don't want to change him because I think that's where he's at his best. Jordan Davis, who athletically does marvelous things, hasn't had to extend himself in college. And the couple times I watched him extend himself, he wasn't good.
Okay. I mean, you're comparing play style to conditioning, which doesn't really make sense to me.
Okay, well. All right, I won't disrespect you. No, believe me, they both play in.
They both play a role in a player and what they're going to be at the NFL level, but to say that, I just don't understand the comparison. Here, let me talk about Jalen Hurts then, because I think he has improved as a player. The big question
there's
for him
no question. He's got better people around him, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think the question with him is, can he improve to the point that they need him to, and can he do it in a time frame before they have to make a long-term decision on him? He's still a very cheap quarterback right now. He's a second-round draft pick. So,
yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point you're making, Dave, because they're getting him on second-round money, which gives them a lot of options, which is really cool.
Yeah, and I think that's why we're seeing them spend right now is, they look at their team and they think, we have a quarterback who we think can be good enough, and he's getting paid peanuts comparative to what top-tier quarterbacks and even second-tier, third-tier quarterbacks make in the league. And I mean, the template for this has been around for a while. The easiest example is Seattle when they won their Super Bowl.
Russell Wilson
had Russell Wilson on a really cheap deal. So I think they're looking at that and figuring, hey, let's kind of go for this, but also be in a building mode. And I think it's a smart play. I really do. Because I don't know long-term if Jalen Hurts is going to be the guy, but they're taking advantage of his window in case he is.
I think that is a great point, Dave, because you're right. Russell Wilson was there in a third-round contract, which allowed them to get Bobby Averill, which allowed them to extend the life of their secondary with second contracts. They got Percy Harvin, too. He paid off in the Super Bowl. Okay, the other time he didn't pay off at all, but he paid off in the Super Bowl. And you're exactly right. I think you're seeing the spending pattern of the Eagles based on the fact that they've committed to a second-round quarterback, which is giving them all sorts of financial options.
Yeah, and even if Hurts ends up not being a guy and they pivot, they're still going to have some cost flexibility early in whatever other quarterback contract they would bring in, whether it's an early draft pick or a free agent or a trade or whatever it is, everything will be backloaded. So it's not like even if they leave the Hurts project right now or, in the next couple years, that it would, completely tie them up. I think they've done it in a pretty smart way.
I also think Hurts is, as a thrower, we all know the accuracy can be baffling at times. I got it. But I think if you're a defensive coordinator, what do you think, Dave? I think he's a hard guy to get ready for every week.
He is. I mean, we know the stress he can put on a defense because of his ability to run and his ability to extend plays. And that is very important, and it's something that stresses defenses. But he still has to improve as a passer, and he's not gonna be viewed as a long-term franchise quarterback of this team until he's a better passer, and that's kind of what it is. And we'll see if he can get there. He has improved. From year one to year two, he improved. From year two to year three, you'd anticipate more improvement. It's just a matter of how much and how quickly it comes.
Well, he's got the dudes, though. Between Brown, Smith, Goddard, Miles, it's not a bad group.
Yeah,
an offensive line, all that. Dave, it's always a pleasure. Even when we debate, it's fun.
That's fine. I like it.
I love having you on. You're the best.
All right. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thanks so much for your time. That was fun. All right, Dave Zangaro. Yeah. Did you feel better about the team after that conversation?
Yeah, I've always felt about as good as the way he described it. Yeah, it pretty much solidified it for me.
I think the Hurts thing, and this is something I've talked about before, the second round pick money. Okay, that is huge. In terms of the Eagles have more flexibility because of it. In other words, the Giants don't have as much flexibility because of Daniel Jones being a first pick and sixth overall. But the Eagles have a second round pick as their quarterback. This is where the Cowboys blew it, Matt. This is where they blew it. They had Dak Prescott for years on fourth round pick money and didn't do enough with it.
No question.
See, that's the demi. You get the first overall pick. You make now. Nobody was in that category this year, obviously. All right, but and it turned out what were the Jaguars? $75 million under the cap or some insane number.
Yes, yes.
So it didn't matter that they picked Trevor Lawrence first overall. At some point, though, Trevor Lawrence, and they're going to pick up his fifth year option when he gets to that stage. he's going to cost them a ton of money.
Well, there's no. I mean, you saw that already with the way contracts are going for quarterbacks, let alone what we saw with receivers this offseason.
And I think, they have 2 more years of Hurts on this?
Yes.
2 more years? Hey, take advantage of it. And the in other words, you can sign Bradbury for 1 year at $10 million because your quarterback's making second-round money and he's not killing you. I mean, why do you think the Packers had to make moves? Because how much money is Aaron Rodgers making? I mean, why do you think Kansas City had to make moves? Because how much money is Patrick Mahomes making? So remember we talked earlier about Tyreek Hill and about money and how you move around money and so forth? Part of it, there's a domino. How much money is your quarterback making? And you have to have it. You've got to have one. Right? Aaron Rodgers. How much money is he making? And how much is he against the cap? And remember, the cap number has gone up a little bit, but it hasn't made that big leap yet because the TV contract doesn't kick in until this year. See? I mean, there's a lot of like dominoes here that fall into place, and the Eagles have hit it right. They've got a quarterback that's good enough at this level, and he is good enough at this level. He really is. The question is whether he's a championship quarterback. It's not that he's not good enough at this level. He is good enough. Okay? He's shown that. Now, can he be a championship quarterback? Now, that's the part we need to find out. And there aren't many of them. There aren't many of them. I mean, the Sioux told us for years he was a championship-level softball player. We're still waiting.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
But boy, I'll tell you, he gets to the keg at second base. It's a long stay. All right, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Yeah, Doug makes a great point. The suit is actually a PBA-level bowler. But he's at the stage of his life and career now where they have a keg in the gutter.
I forgot about his bowling abilities, but that also makes sense.
You know what? To his credit, hey, we always kid him about his 297. How would you and I like to bowl 297?
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't even. I've never even broken 200. Never. The fact he bowled 297 is phenomenal. Now, other stuff, not so much. All right, but when it comes to that, I got to give him credit. Okay.
PAB and PBA.
Yeah.